Having discussed the basic principles of PPR relief in the previous lecture, let us take the topic one stage further by discussing further aspects, starting with lettings relief. Lettings relief can be given in certain circumstances in addition to PPR relief. Lettings relief is available where a dwelling house has been let as residential accommodation during a period of absence. Lettings relief is only available during periods when the property is not either actually occupied or deemed to be occupied by the owner. As a result, PPR relief will always take priority over lettings relief. Lettings relief is the lower of three numbers. Lettings relief can never exceed the amount of the PPR relief. Lettings relief cannot be more than the gain arising during the period of absence in which the property was let out. Finally, the maximum amount of lettings relief is £40,000. Lettings relief cannot turn a gain into a loss. It could, however, reduce a gain to zero. Let us illustrate how lettings relief works by working our way through an example. Assume a taxpayer purchased a house in 1981 and sold it in March 2011. The taxpayer lived in the house between the date of purchase and March 1987. In March 1987, the taxpayer was sent overseas by his employer to work in Rome, living in employer-provided accommodation, and during this period he let out his house. The taxpayer returned from Rome in March 1992 and moved back into the property. In March 1998, the taxpayer decided to travel the world and did not return to the property. The property was let out from March 1999 until the date of sale. The property was sold at a capital gain of £195,000. What we need to do is to consider the application of PPR relief and lettings relief. As usual, let's divide the period of ownership into periods of occupation and absence. Any periods of ownership before the 1st of April 1982 are ignored. The period from April 1982 until March 1987, i.e. 5 years, is actual occupation. Between March 1987 and March 1992, the taxpayer was employed in Rome. To consider whether this is deemed occupation, we must look forward and find out whether the taxpayer came back to live in the property. The taxpayer did return to the property and lived there between March 1992 and March 1998, thereby creating another 6 years of actual occupation. As the period whilst employed abroad was preceded and followed by actual occupation, the 5 years between March 1987 and March 1992 can be treated as deemed occupation. The fact that the property was let out during this period is now irrelevant. This period will qualify for full PPR relief, which will take priority over lettings relief. In March 1998, the taxpayer went travelling. The taxpayer never returned to the property. The final period of deemed occupation will therefore be the last 3 years of ownership, between March 2008 and March 2011. Therefore, the period from March 1998 until March 2008 will not be covered by any of the deemed occupation rules and will be treated as 10 years of absence. Therefore, looking at the period of ownership from April 1982 until March 2011, we have 19 years of occupation and 10 years of absence. This will enable us to determine the PPR relief. In addition, we must consider lettings relief, as between March 1999 and March 2008, the property was let out as residential accommodation. Lettings relief will be available, as the property was let out during a period of absence. Let us consider PPR relief first. The PPR relief will be the gain of £195,000 multiplied by the period of occupation over the total period of ownership. This fraction is 19 out of 29, giving PPR relief of £127,759. Next, we must consider lettings relief. Lettings relief is the lower of three figures. The first is the PPR relief, being £127,759. The second is the gain in the let period. The property was let between March 1999 and March 2008. That is a period of 9 years. The gain arising in this 9 year period is 9/29 of £195,000, being £60,517. The final figure to consider is the maximum lettings relief of £40,000. The lowest of these three numbers is £40,000, so this is the lettings relief.
We deduct this lettings relief to give us a gain of £27,241. Let's consider the above illustration again, but this time in March 1998, the taxpayer was required by his employer to work in Wales, where his employer provided him with accommodation.
We saw in the previous session that where an owner is absent from a property due to employment overseas for any period, or due to working elsewhere in the UK for up to 4 years, the period of absence will be treated as deemed occupation, provided it is both preceded and followed by actual occupation.
In our example, the taxpayer continues to be required to work in Wales and therefore sells the property in March 2011. However, although the taxpayer does not reoccupy the property, 4 years of the period between March 1998 and March 2008 can be treated as deemed occupation.
This is because if an individual is unable to reoccupy the property as the terms of his employment require him to work elsewhere, the period of absence can still be treated as a period of occupation. The gain relating to the remaining 6 years of absence will be eligible for lettings relief.
The taxpayer will not be able to have relief for 3 years for any reason. As for this type of period to be treated as deemed occupation, the absence must always be followed at some point by a period of occupation. PPR relief will now be £154,655, and lettings relief will still be capped at the maximum £40,000, resulting in a chargeable gain of £345.
Whilst on the subject of letting property as residential accommodation, let us consider the interaction of PPR relief with the rent-a-room scheme.
You will recall from your personal income tax course that where a homeowner lets out part of his main residence to a lodger, that is, the owner and the lodger share the house, then for income tax purposes, rental income is only taxable to the extent that it exceeds the rent-a-room threshold of £4,250.
In this instance, when the owner comes to sell his house, full PPR relief will be available. This means that there is no need for the taxpayer to apportion his ownership period into periods of occupation and periods of absence. In effect, for PPR relief purposes, he is treated as having lived in the whole of the property despite the fact that part of it was being let out to a lodger.
There is therefore no need to consider lettings relief if rent-a-room relief applies, and no need to restrict the PPR relief available.
PPR relief may, however, be restricted if part of one's main residence is used for business purposes. If part of a taxpayer's home is used exclusively for business purposes, it is necessary to apportion gains into business and private components before considering PPR relief. In this instance, PPR relief is only given on the private element, i.e., only on the gains arising on the part of the property used as living accommodation. Gains are apportioned on an appropriate basis, and in practice, a split of the gain based on the floor area of the business and private components of the property is usually acceptable to the revenue. It is very important to note that an apportionment only needs to be made if part of a dwelling house is used exclusively for business purposes. No apportionment is required if no part of the home is set aside exclusively for business use. For example, if a spare bedroom is occasionally used as an office and occasionally used as a bedroom, as there is no exclusive business use, there is no need to apportion the gains and there will be no restriction of PPR relief. Any gains arising in the last 36 months of ownership will be fully exempt, as long as all of the house has been used for living accommodation at some point during the period of ownership. This is best illustrated by way of an example.